Second Peter, and we are moving quickly through Second Peter. That was a joke. We are moving very slowly through Second Peter. as I mentioned before, the men have gone through the qualifications for an elder in 2 Timothy and in Titus, and there were 18, I believe, 18 that we went through. We combined two of the lists. We went through the qualifications of an elder, and it took us a year to do that, and we have no regrets for taking that long. We just started a new phase. If you haven't been with us in a while, or you'd like to join us, you guys, we started last week with kind of a new, we're doing some biographies of what it looks like when those attributes, when somebody lives that out in real life. So we started with Nehemiah, and we're going to take a look at the leadership of Nehemiah, and then we're going to move on to some more modern guys that we're going to just take a look at their lives, some biographies. So there's some parallels here. And one of the things we're going to look at today, self-control, we looked at in detail with the men. Now that is a qualification. If a man is going to be an elder, he has to qualify, and that's one of the qualifications. He has to have self-control, discipline. But as you can see in this list, it's required of all of us, not just the leadership. So if you are a believer, if you claim that, then this, you are called to, commanded to grow in these attributes that we're looking at. And we started off, we looked at this word knowledge, epignosis, and this idea of not just pure information, but it is discernment, it's full knowledge, it's experiential knowledge. It is knowing Christ. And we talked about this idea of experiencing Him, where we are walking in relationship with Him, and there is a result from that. We will grow in these specific things when we do that. And we looked at the verse from Daniel that said that those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. That means when we know God, if we really do, then there will be an obvious result in our life. Action will be taken and our character will be transformed. That happens when you know God, when you really know Him. And the more you know Him, the more that takes place. And so that's one of the foundations to what we're talking about here in this first part of 2 Peter. And the other thing we looked at is that when you become a believer, when you put your trust in Christ, you have sort of we compared it to an athlete. It's all of a sudden you have the spiritual genetics to live a godly life. As if you were, when an athlete has these genetics that you cannot put in, he has these things. Like, for instance, you take a guy that runs 10 flat in 100 meters. You cannot instill that in somebody. He has that already. Now, to actually perform and to do that, it takes much discipline and training and much effort to see that happen. And we, as believers, we have been instilled with this ability, for instance, if you want to look at our example, to run the 100 meters in 10 flat. We have been instilled with this ability to live godly lives, to live differently. And so, but it doesn't just happen automatically. Even though it has been given to you by God's grace, it is a gift to you. You have a new nature. But if you're going to live that out, it's going to require something from you. Now you have this ability. So it's like an acorn. An acorn has everything it needs to be a full-grown oak tree. It has that. But it must be planted in the right soil, and there must be the right conditions to see that take place, to see it happen. So we have this ability in us, is what we looked at, and we want to see that come out of us. And so what Peter does here, he goes through this list, and he says, one builds on the other. He says, if you have faith, well, first he starts with this knowledge of God. And if you have faith, and then if you add to that faith virtue, that idea of goodness, excellence, moral excellence, it's a powerful thing, and it's all-encompassing in your life. It's a manifestation of divine power, goodness, and excellence. We won't go back in detail, but so you have this goodness or virtue, and on that we have knowledge, where we actually are pursuing truth. We have to know some things to live differently. We actually have to have the intellectual information. And so it's a different word. It's gnosis rather than epignosis. It's gnosis. It's we have to pursue truth. But there's a danger in pursuing truth if it's not done with humility and God reliance and practice. Because if you just pursue truth and you're not putting it into practice, you keep adding knowledge upon knowledge, it just makes you hard-hearted. And it actually causes problems. So those are some of the warnings that we looked at as we studied this idea of truth. And we looked at this thing, if you have faith, virtue, and knowledge, one of the results of that will be radical evangelism. Now, what in the world do you mean by that? Radical evangelism is it's not going and hitting people over the head or walking around with signs or handing out pamphlets. It is presenting the nature and the character of Christ and people being drawn to Christ because they see Jesus in you. You see that, don't you? Faith, virtue, knowledge. If people see that in you, then they will be drawn to Christ. And so that's some of the results. And there are more that we're gonna look at as we go through this. So you can follow on your outline on the back of your bulletin. And let's read through. Let's read through these verses. We're basically going to focus in today. My original title, but Lori would not let me put this longer title in the bulletin. But my original title was this: growth in self-control and perseverance to have an effective and fruitful life. Catch all that? That's the unabridged version. So, if you want to have an effective and fruitful life, at least answer that question to yourself, if not out loud. But if you want to have an effective and fruitful life, you want your life to count for this short amount of time, even if you live to your 90, the time is short, but you could go tomorrow, you could go this afternoon, but you want the time that you have left to be productive and effective. If you really want that, then you, no matter the speaker or his skill or ability this morning, you should be on the edge of your seat going, I want this. I want this. I want self-control and discipline, and I want perseverance because this will render me effective and fruitful in my life. These are necessary ingredients. If you would be effective, if you would have your life count for eternity, then these things must be a part of your character. You cannot ignore this. You do so to your own peril. So, really, at least on the inside, you should be on the edge of your seat going, even if he botches this. I know it's God's word. I want this. I want it. So God, give this to me. Give this to me. I want this as a part of my character, who I am. I want to be effective and productive in my life. So let's read through this. And remember, we're going to focus. The title comes from verse 6 and verse 8. So really, we're going to focus in on verse 6 this morning and really just on a couple of words. So, but we'll put it into context there. His divine power, 2 Peter 1, 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. You know, that puts some pressure on you. If somebody did some kind of genetic testing on you and realized and told you, you know what? You have the ability to run 100 meters and 10 flat. That puts some pressure on you, doesn't it? You got to do it. You got to train. Now you have all this ability. You can either waste it or you can use it. And it's going to take some preparation. So while Peter's giving them some good news in Peter fashion, he's also applying the pressure saying, you got this ability. That's good. Now I have some expectations of you. And here they are. And he's going to list them out. Here's my expectations of you. This is godliness. This is living a different kind of life. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge, our epignosis of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Goodness, virtue, that describes Jesus. It's also a description of what Peter's saying he wants to see from us. Through these, He has given us, He's His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. For this very reason, because you can do it, because you do have the spiritual genetic potential, you have it in you, you have the ability to do it, for this very reason, then train hard. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, increasing, you're growing in these things. You have no option to sit still. If you possess these in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will be productive and you will have an effective life. There was a man that lived in China in 1958. He was 31 years old. He's not a famous guy, either in China or in the U.S. But it was about the time that the Chinese government, the communism was getting this iron grip on China. And it saw the church as a threat. And that's when the Chinese government began to crack down on the church. And so what they did was, they said they recognized this, the danger and the power of the true church. So they said, we're going to make another church, the Three Self Church. And you're okay. Anybody can join this church. And it's Christian, sort of. And the Bible's taught, sort of, in there. But if you want to be over here and you really want to follow Jesus, you really want to teach the Word, you're going to pay the price for that. And so during this time, Christianity was more out in the open. It was well known. There were some well-known evangelists, well-known preachers. There were some Christian leaders. And most of those well-known evangelists crumbled. They did not stand up. They were, okay, Three Self-Search, that sounds fine. Yeah, we'll go, we'll do that. Well, there was this one guy, and I'm not sure if I, L-I-U. How do you say that? Liu? Come on, Josh. Liu? Okay, old Liu. Could be from South Georgia. So Liu, he said, you know, no, that's not right. That's not right. I'm going to follow Jesus. He said, well, Liu, if you decide this is the way you're going to go, we're going to re-educate you. And the way they re-educate people in China during that day, and I believe sometimes to this day, is they take them off to some remote area where nobody sees what's going on, and they feed you maybe a little, two bowls of rice a day, little tiny bowls with a little bit of flavor maybe thrown in there. Starvation diet. And you work like you have never worked before. From the time you get up until the time you go to bed. There were 2,000 that were put in the camp at that time. There were 700 that maybe survived all the way through until he was released in 79. So he got out and stayed true to the Lord through that whole time. He ended up, because of some character that was developed and because even the world saw that character, he was hired as a professor in China. He worked there for 6 years, and then he ended up getting a job with a church in the U.S. He moved to the U.S. And here, this is from World Magazine. And this is what, if you'll stay with me, I'll just read this briefly about him. So what I'm getting at here is that stuff we just went through, you see this in this man's life. Okay? You see the attributes we just read. This is a brief biography. I don't know that much about him, but I'm going to read this to you. So you listen. You listen for that growth that we just were talking about. So he started as a pastor of a Taiwanese church, but thought more about helping immigrants from mainland China. This is after he moved to the U.S. After his wife befriended two and held a Bible study with them in their home. So he's 58 or 59 by this time. 21 years in the labor camp. Liu started a small house church in the United States, with services at his kitchen table, always followed by a home-cooked meal. The Liu house became a pit stop for immigrants who came by for dinner, Bible teaching, fellowship, and helping and filling out forms and finding lawyers, doctors, and jobs. They frequently told Lou, "We have no family here, and when we come to your house, we feel like we are home." As the church grew, Lou's wife moved to a bigger house to accommodate it. When the church no longer fit that house, they moved to a nearby building. Now 70 to 80 people come every week. And I want you to follow through. That was just brief. Follow through these lists. Faith, think about what he went through. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control or discipline, long perseverance, brotherly kindness, and agape love. And he was willing to walk that road. He gained those characteristics and he became effective for the kingdom. And he has, how many more years does he have? You know, till he's 85, and he has a lot of effectiveness left in him because he was willing to walk that road. Now, this is maybe a little off the topic here, but I can't help pointing this out about him. Think about what we've talked about. Open heart, open life, open home, with the character to back it up. This is exactly what we've been talking about. Open heart, open life, open home, with the character to back it up. He was doing all he could, making every effort, spirit empowered. And of course, being a leader in the church, you know what my first thought was? I hope some partners in the church begin doing the same thing he's doing, or the church will grow no more. It may get bigger, but it will grow no more. Because you see, he is the one. He has an open life, open heart, open home. And he's the one with the character. But if others do not also have that, the church is done growing. It's through. Because that little family can only handle so many people. So the church must take on that characteristic that he displayed in his life. That's what has to happen in a church. Or it does not grow. I don't care how big it gets. It does not grow. So those are the things. This is critical that we grab a hold of these characteristics. And we don't just learn them or repeat them, but we apply them. We grab hold of them. We ask God to teach them to us. We identify. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I pray. I'll pray now. Lord, I just pray that if there are some specific areas that we need to develop, any person or this body as a whole, if we need to develop self-control, discipline, and perseverance, then I pray you would reveal that specific area to us and empower us to have this in our life. We want to grow as a body. We want to make an impact, eternal impact. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Paul also makes this connection of self-control, discipline, and training, and perseverance on the road to godliness. You see, if you want godliness, this is the path you must walk. You must develop this self-control, discipline, and perseverance. In 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul says to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself. That means self-control and discipline. Training, and it's the same word, that it's a specific word that was used for athletes training for the games, the Olympic Games, being in Corinth there. And so it is the same word for that. That's the same kind of training. The discipline spoken of here takes us beyond resisting the flesh kind of discipline. Do you know what I mean by that? There's a level of discipline that's required to say no to the flesh. You have a desire that's sinful, and you know it's sinful. There is a self-control that restrains the flesh, and it says no to that. But there's also a discipline that goes beyond. It's the kind of discipline that Jonathan Edwards had. When you see the works that he produced, or Bonhoeffer, when you see the works that he produced, or Oswald Chambers and the works he produced. Oswald Chambers died at 43. You got the stack of books from him. I don't mean just intellectual books, but I mean deep spiritual things that he has written and the impact. You see, discipline, if you pursue More than just restraining. You must have it to restrain the flesh. And most of us, a lot of us, never get beyond the level of discipline that just restrains the flesh. We just survive. We just try to keep away from sin. But what we want to see developed is to go beyond that. We want to see godliness developed. And it comes down the path of self-control, discipline, and perseverance. And in 2 Peter 1:5, where we are there, it says, make every effort. Now I want us, you feel a little chinch in there that godliness comes from, it's fruit. It comes by faith. You must believe that you have been transformed, that you have a new life. And there's some tension. It also requires to make every effort. It requires discipline and self-control. Spoude is the word. It's Greek, the Greek word that means to make every effort. It's diligence, it's speed, eagerness, earnestness, haste. So let me give you some warning here. To make every effort, you might as well write in there, in your Bible, intensity required. This doesn't mean you have to change from being a laid-back person to an intense person. It has nothing to do with that kind of, oh, that guy's an intense guy. There's plenty of intense people that are wicked and that do not have self-control. But it does require intensity. So intensity is required. Procrastination. Oops. That shouldn't be in there. Procrastination, distraction, putting off, inward focus are all the opposite of intensity. Does that give you a little clearer view? Paul's advice to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15. He said, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. He's talking about the same thing that Peter is talking about. Give yourself to these things. Have discipline. Have self-control. Persevere in them, and people will see your progress. And that'll bring glory to God, because he goes on to say, watch closely how you live. Watch it closely. Watch your doctrine, your knowledge. Watch it closely. Persevere in them. It's the same wording almost. Persevere in them, and you will save both your hearers and yourself. In other words, you will be productive and effective. But it starts with be diligent in your matters. Give yourself wholly to them. And I warn you, it requires some intensity. If you're afraid of intensity, spiritual intensity, then you will miss the boat. Do you want to get a dog to be obedient? You cannot get a dog to be obedient casually. Okay? It takes some intensity, even some relentlessness to do that. And I'm no expert in this, but in my experience, at least with labs, it does require an intensity to get obedience. Now, turn that in on yourself. I said that slowly so you could comprehend it. Turn that same intensity in on yourself to overcome where you need to overcome, and to grow where you need to grow. If you want to get a dog to obey, I'm telling you, at least the dogs I've had experience with, you cannot do it casually. It requires some intense focus and relentlessness where you are going to win. Now, turn that in on yourself. You will not believe how strong and rebellious your old nature is. You do not have any idea. You may think you have an idea. It's powerless now, but it does have some patterns of activity that are difficult to overcome. Being disciplined, self-controlled, and steadfast. There on your outline. Self-control follows knowledge. That's in the list. That's the way it follows in the list. Self-control follows knowledge. What is learned must be put into practice. You will notice, and it's not just all of planning, I think it's just the Spirit led. In the teaching in a church, I believe if a church is in step with the Spirit, you will find that things will be repeated. They'll be repeated, to be repeated. We'll go through a phase, and we'll repeat something, like abiding, remember? We repeat it. We had some intensity on abiding. We were kind of relentless with that. Now, there was an opportunity in there for you to learn that, for you to put it into practice, to obey. Now, then, it is the may not still require the same level of intensity. Now, we can just remind you from time to time. But you see, there was a time of intensity for it, and there was repetition. You had to have the knowledge. It had to be driven in there, in a sense. Self-control, what is learned must be put into practice. The word self-control is also translated discipline. MacArthur gives the following definition for discipline. So listen carefully as I read this. Holding oneself in. Self-control used of athletes who were to be self-restrained and self-disciplined. Thus a Christian is to control the flesh, passions, and bodily desires rather than being controlled by them. Virtue or goodness. Guided by, listen to this, virtue, guided by knowledge, disciplines desire and makes it the servant, not the master of one's life. So we started our list, as we started through this list, we started with make every effort, and faith, and virtue, or to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Now, if I can coin a phrase here, a Steveism, I think that self-control is a channeling attribute. Not that kind of channeling. The kind of channeling that you, like you channel water through a narrow place. That kind of channeling. So that's what self-control does. It takes those virtues, those qualities that you're developing, and self-control makes them useful. You know how water has to be channeled to get its power. You're going to generate electricity from water. You have to channel. You have to force it between two walls, and then the power and you get the power from the water then. And that's what self-control does. It restrains the other virtues and makes them useful and powerful. So, in fact, the word actually in the Greek, it does, one of the meanings of discipline is containing, even restraining, as in restraining the flesh. Self-control makes the other virtues useful. But for real usefulness, it must continue over time. What do you call that? Perseverance. That's the very next attribute. These things don't stand alone. If your self-control would be of value, it cannot be this one-time thing, and you remember how well you did and how you made this decision, and it happened once, and yeah, that was good. Perseverance makes it effective. You must keep at it. But the virtue of self-control must be built on knowledge. You have to be making the right kind of effort. To do the right things, if you do the right things, you get the right result. But it has to be the right thing. So if you read in some book that you're supposed to eat a bagel for breakfast and a bagel for lunch, and this will really help you get in shape, that's not the right knowledge. So you can believe that, and you can go after it, and you can do it. You can follow through, but you're not going to get the right result. You have to have the truth. You have to have the truth. And that's why we pursue knowledge in God's Word, not worldly wisdom. That changes all the time. Bagels used to be the thing, you know. That changed. You know, you used to get boiling water spit on, you get a burn. In the old days, your mama used to rub butter on that thing. Now they tell you, oh, that's the worst thing you could do. Science changes. God's Word does not change. So we pursue truth in God's Word, and it doesn't change. And then we can do the right things and get the right results. So, making every effort is built on truth. For instance, we won't go there. We've already been there recently. The truth of Romans 6, of reckoning it to be true that you're dead to self and alive to Christ. Of Galatians 2:20, that you have been identified with the death of Jesus and He's living His life through you. Of Romans 12, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Those are truth verses that make every effort is built upon. So you pursue the truth, knowledge, and then you apply the discipline, make every effort, which is self-control. This self-control must come out of truth, not worldly wisdom. And worldly wisdom is always trying to get into the church. It's always trying to work its way in there. To quote Elizabeth Elliot, this self-control is the glad surrender of discipline. It goes like this. You recognize your weakness. You believe God. You put your trust in Him and His strength. You submit to Him. And then you make every effort and you do not give up. Discipline. Self-control. Now listen. Especially in the beginning stages of growth in a specific thing. You see, you have to lay down new patterns. Keep going back to the dog example today, I guess. But you know, a dog runs in the backyard. You know, you ever see and he runs back and forth along the same path. And pretty soon there's this pathway. There's no grass will grow there. It just runs this. He just runs his path. And that's that. You know, after he's run there enough, that's what happens. He develops a pathway there. We do something long enough, we develop pathways. We develop just that's just the way we operate. If we want to get a cut a new path over here and do things differently, it takes some effort. Make every effort. It requires, that word again, intensity. It requires intensity to change a pathway. It requires much intensity. But it may not always require that same level of intensity. If you're a person that gets up and has your time in the morning to read and pray, I bet it doesn't require the same level of intensity that it wants. To make that change in your life and to make that a part of your life, did that require some intensity? You've got to want it, you know? Because you're really not going to bed any earlier. But you've got to get up earlier. And you've got to get up significantly earlier so you can have some time in the Word and so you can pray. Does that require a little effort? Some of you guys still need to get there? Intensity. Make every effort. It's discipline that's spirit empowered. You have it in you to do it. You have to apply some intensity. Some make every effort. Some discipline. Some self-control. Now, but let's say you've been doing that for a couple of years. You have a little path worn now. Man, you have a hard time staying in bed. Even if you hadn't had enough sleep. You want to get up. And you want to get in the Word. Even if you don't want to, you know the benefit of it. You've developed a new pattern, a new pathway. And now God wants you to apply some intensity to something else. Now don't forget that one, but He wants you to keep on going. There's still intensity to be applied to other areas of your life. It's the same in obedience in a dog, even obedience in a child. But there still is the drift principle to contend with. You know, I remember especially when Caleb was younger, it was like, okay, Caleb had a spanking. Okay, it's been 2 weeks. I'm just going to go ahead and give him another spanking because I know he's going to try to get one here in a couple days because it's been about 2 weeks. He, the drift principle, he's drifting. He's got to be reminded. I didn't do that. I didn't do that, Mama. When she would come to our house, she would, I'd like hide the switches, you know, up above the door so she wouldn't see that. What is that, Stephen? I don't understand that. That was nothing compared to the switch that was used on me, but it's a whole different story now. Okay. I digress. Where was I? Discipline. Thank you. Distraction. Yes. The drift principle. We still have to contend with the drift principle. I made that one up too. We tend to drift. We have to contend with that. Intensity, even relentlessness in making every effort until you get the result you are looking for, and then persevere in it. Y'all get that? Intensity, even relentlessness. Relentlessness. Have you ever known somebody that is relentless? A bulldog. I am not quitting. I am not quitting. I'm knocked down. I'm getting back up. I will die before I quit. You do not want to get in a wrestling match with somebody like that. I am not quitting. I am relentless. I am relentless. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to want it that bad. I think Paul was like that. I do. He was intense and he was loving and kind and generous and had a smile on his face, I think. But when it came time to grow, he grew. He raised the intensity to dial it up to where it needed to be. Intensity, even relentlessness in making every effort until you get the result you are looking for, and then persevere in it. And I will tell you, you can just put a star by that. From my experience, I've seen it. I've watched enough people to know. Those people that are casual about reading their Bible will never really, really read their Bible. Those people that are casual about praying will never, never really, really pray. But those people that are intense, they want to connect with God. And they want to move the hand of God in another person's life. And they will be relentless. They'll bang on the doors of heaven until they get their answer. And God tells us that's what He wants. He wants self-control, discipline, intensity, and relentlessness if we would grow. You can be casual and that's all nice and good. And you can be ineffective and unproductive and you can stand before God. And He will question you on these things and He'll question you if you heard. Did you hear that message I sent you on intensity? That was for you. That was for you. I wanted you to make a difference. You had those 10 more years left in your life. And I wanted to impact these people. And I was calling you to do it. But you weren't willing to go there. You weren't willing to be relentless and intense. So, I called somebody else to do it. You get no reward for that. You've lost your reward. I don't want to stand before God because of a lack of intensity and self-control and discipline and procrastination and not get done what God is calling me to get done. The result is godliness. Read down, read ahead. The result is godliness. Abundant Canaan land fruit. Look back at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's where it's going, and that's where we end up along this path. He will take us there, and this is the path. He will take us there, and this is the path. He is the good shepherd. I didn't say anything, Carlton, when you read Psalm 23 this morning, but it was just right in step. He is the good shepherd. He will lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. He will lead you in paths of righteousness, godliness. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So do not fear, even in the shadow of death, when you are following the Good Shepherd. This is the path to godliness and effectiveness and fruitfulness. Okay, a little more on the definition of self-control or being disciplined. Ingrates. Self-control, discipline. Self-control, strong in a thing. It is from vigor. The base word of self-control and discipline. Listen, the base word is vigor, power, strength, and to pursue after wholly. Exercising self-control. This is still the definition from Vines. Exercising self-control, particularly over the physical desires, lust, anger, slothfulness, criticalness. A lack of self-control makes us an easy target for the enemy. Do you see that? Do you recognize that in your own life? A lack of self-control and discipline makes us an easy target. David read a proverb for us this morning. I didn't remember where it was from and I didn't look it up. But it's, a man without self-control is like a city with its walls torn down, defenseless, and really looking like you don't care. The enemy likes that. Just looking like you don't care. The enemy respects intensity and making every effort. The disciplined disciple wins the battle of the flesh most of the time. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. Self-control and discipline, it leads you to things that feed your soul. Just to use that quick example of being in the Word and praying. You see, self-control doesn't lead you to things that war against your soul. It leads you to things that feed your soul. You see, it takes a certain amount of discipline and self-control to worship on your own, alone, to worship God, doesn't it? To focus, to pray, to intercede. But you know what those things do? Those things feed your soul. Without self-control and discipline, your soul does not get fed. In fact, you tend towards the things that war against your soul. But if you feed your soul, there's a strength of holiness that is seen by others. And that will continue to grow in the soil of consistency, steadfastness, and perseverance. Those two are tightly linked together. As we mentioned before, an acorn has all the potential to be a mighty oak tree, but it must be planted in the right soil. You have all the potential for godliness, but you must be planted in the right soil of self-control, discipline, and perseverance. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul goes back to this often. He translates the same word translated there. Sometimes it's translated discipline or self-control. And it, with a slight variation there, it's translated goes into training. The athlete that wants to win the wreath, it says he goes into training. You see, discipline brings a freedom to follow God. Now, I've used this example before, but if you winter's about here, if you want to go up to the cabin and you're going to have to ski or snowshoe to get up there. But if you want to go on to the ridge that separates Mill Creek Canyon from Big Cottonwood Canyon, you got a trek ahead of you. But it sounds fun, doesn't it? Just float along and just go up the slope and break trail and make it to the top. Boy, that sounds fun. But if you have no discipline or self-control, you will not be prepared to make that hike. You will not have the freedom to go enjoy going up there. It takes a little physical preparation to be able to do that. It also takes discipline to even hear from God. Do you remember we had focused on Isaiah 50, verse 4. In fact, go there real quick. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. Discipline puts us in a place, not just for freedom to obey, but it puts us in a place to hear from God. Verses 4 and 5. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. Discipline. Wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. Self-control. I have not drawn back. Discipline. We can go on down there to verse 7. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. Intensity. Discipline. Self-control. And I know I will not be put to shame. You know, a dog, if you think about this, I'm back to my dog analogy, so I'm stuck on that this morning. Sometimes my dog's mine, sometimes they don't. You guys know that. So, a dog without discipline, though, is not available. You know what I mean? He's headed out. Is your dog ever headed out? He's going somewhere. Now, you need that dog to be available to you. How do you get him to be available to you? You call him, you whistle, you holler. If that dog does not have discipline, he might as well be deaf to his master's call. The same goes for us. If we don't have discipline, it's just like we are deaf to the call of the master. Here again, I've already used this, but one day you'll stand before Jesus. And you may say to him, he says, why didn't you do this thing? I had this for you to do. And you say back to him, you didn't call me. I would have done that. I would have loved to have done that. He said, I did call. You were pursuing other things. You were chasing rabbits. You did not hear me. Did not have the self-control and the discipline. I called you. And you did not hear the still small voice. Like your dog running away, he might as well be deaf if he has no discipline. David's mighty men were disciplined. You remember, and we talked about this story with the men, we were talking about discipline. You remember that David, they were sitting around, they're running from King Saul, they're haggard, they're living in caves. But he's sitting around there and he's got these group, and there's three of his mighty men that are in the group, and David is saying, he's weary, he's wore down, he's discouraged, and he says, oh, for a drink from the well. Jerusalem. And three of his men stand up. We got that. We're going. I heard you. They could have never made the trek to Jerusalem. They had to move out quickly if they didn't have discipline. I know they were disciplined. They couldn't have done that. They didn't have the physical ability to do it. They had to break through the troops. They had to fight. They had to get the water, and they had to fight their way out. They were skilled. They were prepared physically, mentally, emotionally. They were disciplined, and they were self-controlled. There were other men around that day. Why didn't they hear? They just heard David say he wanted to drink water. They didn't hear to go and get the water. But these men were disciplined and self-controlled. And they heard the command, go in to get the water. And they were ready to go and get the water. They heard. What are we missing from God? Because of our lack of self-restraint, because of our lack of control, our lack of intensity, our distractedness, God is calling us with a still small voice, and He may be like David. He just may be an inclination. He may want you to want it bad enough. Like David said, I just wish I had one. He didn't say, you guys go to the well. He didn't say it like that. God speaks to us like that sometimes. He wants us to want it. He wants us to be in a place where we want to hear. They were disciplined. And we're running out of time. I'll try to hurry. We could use the example of an athlete, again, with great physical ability. How many times in your life have you known some guy that had the most athletic ability and potential? But guys that are willing to work and discipline themselves and make every effort, they surpass him. And he only goes to this point, only goes to a certain point, because he's just relying on his ability. He's not willing to make every effort. We have within us the ability to do these things. And we have the ability to make every effort. I believe that the word self-control here includes all of these aspects. Self-control over the flesh, available to God, and a general discipline to accomplish any task. We should find this type of discipline, self-control, in our leaders. We should find it in ourselves. We should find it in those we disciple. We should develop it in our children and our dogs, I guess. Recognize the areas where you need more discipline and come up with a plan. I asked you, remember when we started? Has God revealed any specific area to you where you need to have more discipline? You need to have more self-control. Well, then make every effort. Apply some intensity. Some Spirit-empowered making every effort. And grow in that specific area. You guys remember some of you were here. Most of you were here, I think, when we did the New Year's message. We introduced their theme verse, you know, of 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. We won't read it right now. And we went over that list of I resolve. Do you remember that? That's still on the webpage. If you go to the first message in January, at the bottom of the outline, there's a PDF file Josh put on there. You can go to there and it has, if you're running short of ideas, you can go there. There's about 37 things. It says, I resolve to. And if there's some things there. You could read over that whole list, and probably you need to do most of them. I need to do most of them. But there's one or two things that the Holy Spirit will convict you of and say, these are the things I want some action on. I want some intensity on these things, and I want some progress on these things. Do you want to be effective? Do you want to be fruitful in your life, the amount that you have left? Well, it will take some discipline and self-control. So we must wrestle with specific areas and apply self-control, discipline, intensity, and perseverance to grow in them. Ask God to reveal to you where you need more self-control and discipline. You know, if you're hearing this and you don't know God, then don't try to do this yet. That's putting the cart before the horse. You got to have the spiritual potential to do it. You got to have the new nature. And you get that by putting your trust in Christ, being identified with His death on the cross, acknowledging your sin, putting your trust in Him, that He died in your place, and receive the new life. And then you can start applying some self-control and some discipline. But you got to have that first. You got to have the genetic, spiritual potential to do it before you start training for it. Ask God to reveal this to you, and here's what you do. Acknowledge truth, that this is wrong, that there needs to be a change. Believe God that you can do it. Acknowledge your weakness. Repent because you haven't done it sooner. By the time we hear from God, we usually should have done it a long time ago. Believe. Apply Spirit-empowered self-control. Write it down. I'd like for you to write it down before you leave here. Write it down. Tell me. No, I'm just kidding. You tell someone. Tell someone. And get them to ask you about it. Accountability. That helps. Most of you won't tell anybody. You'll think, oh, I got this. I can do it. You won't do it. It requires some intensity. Part of intensity. Letting somebody know, this is what I'm doing. This is what God's working on me on. I want to do it. I should have already done it by now. I've been trying to do it by myself long enough. Give me some help. Resolve. Resolve to do things different in this specific. This is growth. You see, this is not legalism. It's not a trying to make ourselves acceptable to God. This is growing into godliness. This is the path we take. You do not have the ability on your own to do this. He puts it in you by faith and Spirit empowered, making every effort. He will grow you up in Him. And you'll be fruitful and effective. And one day in heaven, you will thank me for this message. It's a possibility, you know? And I'll fall on my knees and say, how could that happen?